Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet on a super Saturday with 11 races on the ITV card. Newmarket, the final day of their July festival, the July Cup being the highlight there. We've got York, we've got the John Smith's Cup up there, and Ascot, where the Summer Mile Stakes takes centre stage. A really cracking weekend of racing and a great panel to go through the racing with you this week. We've got Graham Robway and Matt Gardner from the Racing Post, and as always from Unibet, we have Ed Nicholson. But before we get in to today's Racing Postcast and onto the racing, I want to address the incident that happened in Hertfordshire the other night. Our friend John Hunt lost his wife and two daughters in a tragic incident. God knows what John must be going through during these times. The whole of the Racing Post and the whole of the racing world are with you in these moments. John's thoughts with your friends and family. Stay strong. Ed, I'll come to you. It was a tragic incident the other night, and John's a great friend to many of us in the racing industry.
Yeah, he's such a great fella. I've known him since the 1990s. He used to work at Ladbrokes as I did. Just a top man. It's terrible. It really is. It's so tragic. We were at the cricket yesterday when the news came through, and I was with people from racing, and we were shocked. We just couldn't understand it. No one can we? So yeah, as you've just so eloquently said, everybody is thinking about him, and they really are. If you just go on Twitter, everyone is outpouring their emotions about the situation. But it's also, you know, it tells you something, doesn't it? I mean, this is great fun doing the racing, the podcast, but you know, when something like that happens, it just puts it all into context, doesn't it?
Absolutely, completely agree with that. Okay, let's get into the racing then. And part one of the show is going to look at Newmarket's final day of the July Festival, and the 212 is where we begin, which is the Bedford Lodge Hotel and Spa Fillies Handicap over 7 furlongs. Unibet's pricing have Lulu's Gift as the 4-1 favourite. Miss Bordacious is 9-2. Key to Katai is 13-2. Hard to Resist and Heritage House 15-2. Arizag 9-1 and Double Figures. About the rest of the field, Ed, I'll start with you on this one here. We've got a nice competitive race to kick things off. What have we got here?
Well, first thing I'll say is this is the start of a brand new promotion that we've got that I've mentioned on the Racing Post podcast. Every day, not just on the Saturdays, but every day, we're now going one race where we'll be best industry price on every runner from 9 o'clock in the morning. So we're recording this on a Thursday. So Saturday, the 212 at Newmarket, from 9 o'clock in the morning, will be best industry price on every single one of these runners. And it really is a competitive race. So that bit of a boost is obviously, I would imagine most punters would like that. It's a really difficult race. I won't spend too much time on this because we've got 11 races to go through. And it's probably my least horse I fancy during the whole of the 11 races. I've gone for Asian Days. Quite a big price, 12-1. First time for the trainer, Jane Chappell-Heim, having been with Johnny Murtagh over in Ireland, where incidentally she's won on all sorts of ground, which I think is quite interesting because, again, I've spoken to Newmarket today to try and get a grip on what the going is going to be, and they just say it's sunshine and showers. Bring a coat and a pair of sunglasses on Saturday because they just haven't got a clue what it's going to be. So I've gone for many horses that have shown form with a bit of dig, but also could get away with good ground as well. And Asian Days does that. She ran in the Sandringham as 5 of these 11 did last time. She came almost out the top. I think one horse beat her, but she ran quite well from her side of the draw. I just thought it worth giving another chance to a mare that we know probably will be going in any going. But it's a very competitive opening race for us to look at.
Okay, well, Asian Days, Fred Nicholson. Then do check out that offer, 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Head to unibet.co.uk to look at all the terms and conditions there. Graham Robway, good to see you, sir. Looking at this field, I see William Haggis with two horses in the top three in the betting here. You've got Lulu's Gift, who was a good winner last time out, of course, and distance winner. And Hard to Resist, the royal runner of Ryan Moore aboard, who was well down the field in the Sandringham, but the betting suggests there could be some improvement from the Haggis runners.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ryan Moore's obviously getting the leg up on Hard to Resist, isn't he? So that's a big plus. I mean, you could make a solid case for a lot of these. Lulu's Gift ran a really good time when winning over course and distance last time, but it was only a 5-runner race. And she's likely to be, I would have thought she would be quite a short price favourite, but we'll see. The one that I thought might run well is Key to Kotai. sort of been improving for Ed Walker, who's in decent form. And I've got a sneaky feeling that Jabara is going to run a big race in the Falmouth Stakes on Friday. I think she's a really rapidly improving filly. And Keita Kotai, well, I wouldn't say she got to grips with her, but she certainly was the only one to get really anywhere near Jabara at Carlisle last time. That was in a listed race. Having been quite strong on Jabara for the Falmouth, I've got to follow that piece of form in here. Of course, the third in that race, Heritage House, is also lining up, and there was a lot of money for Heritage House that day at Carlisle. But I'll stick with Keita Kotai, I think.
Okay, Keita Kotai 13-2 of Unibet currently, and Matt Gardner, you're going to finish us off in the opening race here.
Yeah, Arisaig was a pretty big eye catcher at Ascot. I think she'll run all right. But I thought Lulu's Gift was the right favourite, to be honest. Mm. That race that she was third in at Kempton's worked out really well. The winner won a listed race over in France last weekend. It's thrown up, I think, three or four other subsequent winners. Like Rod has said, she didn't win much of a race here last time, but I thought she did it pretty well. She's gone up £7, but she's a half sister to Mighty Ulysses, who I think was pushing 120 on RPRs. The dam was a listed winner, so you know, if she can't cope with that, you'd be pretty disappointed. I just thought she boasted the ideal sort of profile that you want for this race.
Okay, Lulu's Gift, yeah, 4-1, William Buick aboard for the Haggis team. Let's move on then, gents, to the 250, which is a mile handicap, class 2 event, where Kirat is topping the market at 5-1. Volterra's 13-2. First Conquest and Live and Let Live is 15-2. Arabic Legend and Darkham 9-1, 12-1 and bigger. About the rest of the field, another competitive race to get stuck into at Newmarket. And I'm sure, Ed Nipton, there must be extra places here.
Yeah, 16 runners at time of recording and extra places are available. Live and Let Live, you said. I think it's Live and Let
Well,
live,
I don't know. Live and Let Live or Live and Let Live. I was going on the song.
It could be
really,
Live and Let
obviously
Live.
Obviously, it's like change.
Yeah, it could be Live and Let Live, Live and Let Live, or whatever. The horse is definitely living his life because he's won two of his last three races and won in the style of a really decent horse at Nottingham two runs back. I backed him that day and he pulled. And I thought, oh, here we go. He's not going to get home. And he just went away. That was off a rating of 83. Of 72, he went one off 83. He's now off 89. He's got to stop soon, isn't he? He can't keep on winning these handicaps and going up. I like the horse, but my eye was drawn to the odds on a horse that we've spoken about a couple of times on the podcast before, and I can't believe the price of this horse. Volterra, who was favourite for the Britannia handicap, when he didn't run particularly well. But if you look at the race, he was first of his group. On his side, he's got the same mark, obviously 91, having won at Newmarket in the style of a really well handicapped horse. It was also very well backed in the morning that day, so everyone, we discussed it at the time, I think everyone knew that he was well handicapped, so he's possibly still got a few pounds in hand. I thought, you know, double figure odds you can get. I thought Volterra was definitely worth a chance here, and also going back to what I said earlier on, has form on good to soft. And there's also one on good. So, you know, we've got those two ground considerations covered as well at this stage. So Volterra, juicy odds for me.
Okay, Volterra and those extra places for Unibet will come in handy. With regards to here, Matt Gardner, to you then, we're definitely going to get a decent price in this one.
Yeah, right. I was right there with Ed on Volterra, to be honest. I've got a bit of a theory that this isn't the strongest renewal of this race. It's often like one of the most competitive three-year-old handicaps of the year, but it doesn't look that deep to me. I'm not sure all that many are capable of kind of taking a step forward, whereas I thought Volterra absolutely was. Like Ed said, he was impressive on when he won on the Rolly Mile. I'd overlook his Ascot run, first time in that group. That I think that far side went a bit hard that day, and he was pretty keen as well. He was bang up with the pace. He could do with settling down a little bit. He's a bit buzzy in his races, but you know, he's got loads about him physically, and I still think he's capable of a fair bit better still. Like I said, I'd like to see him settle down a little bit, but his profile stood out in this race to me.
Okay, no one Volterra. I mean, the favourite in this race here is obviously Rafe Beckett's runner, Kirat, has some good form. But what is interesting, G-Rod, is the Charlie Appy runner, William Buick First Conquest, probably the most unexposed runner in the field, is on a bit of a drift here. Had some good form with the likes of Lead Artist, who actually runs at Newmarket, I believe, today. So form could be boosted there. But you wouldn't often see a Charlie Appy horse drifting at the July course, would you?
No, I mean, he does remarkably well here, doesn't he? It was funny, I was talking to someone this morning about Irish train runners. I think there's only been three Irish train winners in recent years at this meeting. So the Irish don't really tend to target it, whereas Charlie Appleby, obviously, is his home game for him, isn't it? He absolutely loves having winners here. The Hood going on first time, I suppose, would be a little bit of a concern. And Lead Artist has been fairly easy to bet today, I think, hasn't he? So maybe punters are thinking that form's not the strongest. I quite liked Arabic Legend, the top weight, Carl Burke's runner. Used to be with Andrew Borden, had some decent form there. Really well-bred colt by Dabawi out of Shaker Raker, who was a really smart filly a few years ago. And I thought, appreciated the drop back into handicap company last time out when beaten by a promising horse called Sharon A at the Curragh, had previously been tried in a couple of derby trials. So Arabic Legend at double figure odds for me, Sam.
Okay, Arabic Legend, top weight for Graham Robway. Moving on now to a race that has thrown up plenty of good winners. The 325 at Newmarket is the Superlative Stakes, Group 2, over 7 furlongs for the two-year-olds. This last year won by City of Troy, and we all know what he's been and done. Previously, it's won by the likes of Isaac Shelby, Native Trail, Master of the Seas in recent years. So in recent times, it's thrown up some really good quality winners, Matt. We know you're our two-year-old handicapper. So looking at this, I mean, Ancient Truth is currently 6-4 favourite with Unibet. The betting's on the screen now. Is he a good favourite? Is he going to be the standout star in this field?
I really like him. He's a little bit skinny on the face of it when you look at what they've achieved so far. I mean, Columnist's got the best bit of form. Though, to be honest, not by as much as you'd expect for a horse that finished third in the Coventry, which sort of suggests that the Coventry level isn't that high this year. It didn't look a particularly good race. I don't think he's going to want this trip either, Columnist. He was keeping on at Ascot, but he's shown loads of speed and he's bred to be a sprinter, so I'm not sure he's going to want it. I think the Parthenon will probably want further. Line of Force is going to relish this trip, but I've not been impressed with him, like, physically. He looks a bit small to me so far. So yeah, Ancient Truth was definitely the one that I was most excited about. I absolutely love that they didn't go to Ascot with him. They could have done after his debut, but instead Charlie Appleby took him to a novice that he won with Ancient Wisdom last year, and he's won it with two or three other horses that ended up being pretty decent. He, you know, his form stacks up well. He beat Principality on debut. He was still learning last time. He still looked a little bit green, but still won pretty comfortably, which sort of underlines the theory that they were right not to go to Ascot with him. And now this looks the ideal opportunity for him to step up in grade and show what he's all about. So, yeah, I really liked Ancient Truth.
Yeah, he's skinny price, but could just be the superstar in the field. Interesting to see Pendle Bay in here for the George Bowie Yard. Obviously, ran second in the Cheshire behind Bedtime Story. A lot of people will be following that form closely, I'm sure, bar the fact that Bedtime Story won it by half the track. Graham Rodway, who did you like in this?
Yeah, this, of course, as you said, was one of the races that the Irish have won in recent years with City of Troy last year. Yeah, I can see the case for the first two. I don't think it was the strongest of Coventry's either. You could throw a blanket over a lot of them at the front there, couldn't you? And I'd be taking on Columnist. I would probably back the Parthenon just at the prices, because we don't know how good a lot of these are. And you can make a strong case for either of them, but 7-4, Ancient Truth, and what, 6-1, the Parthenon. They've both won novice races, maiden races in a similar sort of fashion to my eye. And they're both really well-bred colts, one by Kingman out of Wonder of Wonders and the other by Dabawi out of Beyond Reason, who, of course, are both really smart mares. So to me, I don't see very much between Ancient Truth and the Parthenon. And at the prices, I'd go for the O'Brien runner.
Okay, Ed O'Brien's the Parthenon for Graham Robway. And Ed Nicholson, where are you looking in the superlative?
Well, I'm all over Ancient Truth myself. This race, here goes another history lesson, Graham. This race, I remember it when it used to be a listed race back in the day. And now it's a group two. Some really good horses have won it. I mean, we look last year, City of Troy, but Native Trail, same stable as Agent Truth only a few years ago, went on to win the Irish Guineas, didn't they? Second in the Guineas. Olympic Glory won a QE2. Dabawi won this before winning the, becoming fifth in the 2000 Guineas, I think, and been running well in lots of other races. Dr. Devious won this, won the Derby. Even going back to a horse called Be My Chief, I remember in 1989, unbeaten two-year-old. But that was when it was a listed race. Now it's a group two. It seems to be a race much more for the classics next year, especially for the Guineas. So, I mean, I was looking at Agent Truth, not just to back him here, but to back him for the Guineas. And I noticed that we're the biggest price in the village. We're 25-1. So I did mention it to our odds compilers. I said, I'm going to tip him up at 25 for the Guineas. There is 12s and 14s around. And if you like playing the long play, which I do, and obviously can't bet at Unibet prices, but Ancient Truth at 25s, if he was to win this, and let's face it, he's probably going to be around about 5-4 to do so on the day, he's going to be 10s, 12s. And what price was City of Troy after he won this? You know, so I'm going to back Ancient. Well, I'm definitely backing Ancient Truth myself in this race. Charlie Appleby, as you said, loves this meeting. He's won this race four times in the last 8 years. He's on a 33% strike rate at the moment. This is his meeting. I think Agent Truth wins this, and then I'll have a nice anti-post wager for the 2,000 Guineas.
There we go. Yeah, 25-1 with Unibet. And like I said, if a horse goes and wins this race, they're certainly going to shorten up winning a race of this nature. But Agent Truth looks like the one to be with. Let's go on to a really competitive handicap, and always is every year, the Bunbury Cup at 4 o'clock, 7 furlong contest, where Carry the One is going to be fairly short here at 3-1. Divine Libra 13-2, a Wow and Gorak a 15-2. Then a bit of a jump, Mustabshire and Percy's Lad, along with Lethal Levi 12-1, 14-1 about Ropey Guest for the Markson stable, and 16's Bar here. Graham Rodway, I suppose the one horse to focus on to start with is Carry the One, the Michael Bell and Ryan Moore horse here. Third in the Buckingham Palace behind English Oak, who Unibet currently have joint favourites anti-post for the Lennox Stakes, have Hartem and English Oak as 4-1 favourites to Lennox. So, look, that could be group form, the Buckingham Palace, and coming third there probably settles why this horse is 7-2.
Yeah, and an unlucky third, wasn't it, as well, there, Carry the One. Would definitely have been second with a clear run. Wouldn't have beaten English Oak. I don't think he was a very good winner. But like you say, the English Oak is probably a group horse masquerading as a handicapper that day. So Ryan Moore was booked for this ride on Monday at the declaration stage, which was a pretty big indication that they mean business here. The problem is, of course, is that absolutely everyone has seen it. And like you say, he's now into a very, very short price. And as a result, I have to take him on with the one that I fancied long-term, which was Awow, who was third in the race last year off a £3 higher mark. Has clearly been laid out for a return to the race. Simon and Ed Crisford are absolutely flying. They've put a tongue tie on first time. James Doyle rides, might just outclass them from the top of the weights off a mark that's lower than last year.
Yeah, the Crisfords admitted that they had a really slow start to the season, but their horses are certainly coming to form now. Ed Nicholson, I know you might have a bit of agreement here.
Yeah, yeah. Off camera, we were talking about the race, and I fancy Awol as well, or Awol in this race as well. I love this race. This is a classic 7 furlong handicap. There are not that many 7 furlong handicaps. Never used to be, but I used to always look out for this race. I remember 1992, Consigliere winning. I was going up to Loughborough for a student party. I just finished Loughborough. I was going up for King's Cross, and I had to back Consigliere at the King's Cross. There's a betting shop opposite. And my train was just about to go, and they were late off because a horse got loose. And I was looking at could I make the train? I wanted to watch Consigliere. Consigliere won. I ran quicker than Consigliere to get the train and had a great night because he won at 10-1, Paul Edry. It was a great, great performance. But I love this race also because horses keep coming back to it year after year. Who remembers mine? Mine's won this three times with three different jockeys. And Awol came third in it last year. There's actually quite a few horses that run really well year after year in this because you don't normally get a 7 furlong competitive in June, July, sorry, that produces this sort of field. And horses tend to run well where they get the same certain circumstances. And this is a classic horse. It's been dropped in the handicap since last time. It, like, you know, like Graham said, probably maybe they wanted to get it out early, but as soon as they couldn't, they kind of looked at this race. And one thing that hasn't been discussed, he's actually very good fresh. He came second in the Lincoln off 159 days on heavy ground. He's also won on good ground and soft ground, which is key, I think. And he's also run really well. He's off 157 days. So I'm not worried about the fact that it will be a seasonal debut, 266 days. I agree. I think it's a really good bet, especially with the extra places that we'll be offering on the race. I really can't see this being out the first five myself.
Okay, there you go. Extra place for Unibet. A wow, around 10-1. Good price there. Matt, I actually quite like the look of, I've always liked this horse, but I quite like the look of Darkness at a big price with David O'Mara and Neil Callanon. Won here last time out, did this last year actually, and then went to Goodwood and ran fourth in the Golden Mile there. Massive price here. There's going to be massive price no matter what, but you have got the potential to make a hat-trick horse in a while, but I doubt you're going to do so.
No, I started the race thinking that he was going to be the one, to be honest with you. The point that Ed makes about his good record fresh, it stands up. He's basically just got a good record whenever he runs, to be totally honest. Like, he runs well pretty much every time he takes to the track. The tongue tie put me off a little bit going on for the first time. I couldn't see an obvious reason for that to be happening at this sort of stage in his career. But, you know, I didn't really have an issue with him particularly. The one that I'd throw in at a big price is Yorkshire. His better runs generally have come after a little break, which I think offers an excuse for him flopping at about 11-8 after 12 days off last time. I also don't think he's a miler. That was the first thing he stepped up in trip that day. He was a bit keen. I don't think he's a miler. He's regularly left the impression that we haven't got to the bottom of him yet. I think a well-run big field scenario like this over 7 furlongs is going to be absolutely ideal for him. I think he was about sort of 25s there or thereabouts. I'd fancy him to outrun that.
Yeah, plenty of big prices, Ed. Like you say, the extra places are there for them.
Yeah, there are plenty of good horses. I mean, Ropey Guest was placed in this last year, wasn't he? Did he come second, I think? And he'd have a chance, the way the race is run. He's a 7 furlong horse, mile horse. The point about AWOL as well, that was made by Matt, he's actually very lightly raced. He's only had 11 races. I think, and he's only run over 7 furlongs 3 times in his life and finished third on each of those occasions. So there's plenty more improvement. You can probably work out I'm very strong on an AWOL. I'm talking myself into a bet here, but yeah, it is a competitive race. Having said that, the favourite is short, isn't he? I mean, 3-1, 7-2 in this kind of race. I think that's sure. That must drift.
Yeah, maybe it will. Just there's that hope that, you know, that group class form of what we think English Oak could be is just the factored in here at 3-1. We'll just wait and see, but could just be far too good for the field. But I agree with you, Ed. I think I'd have to be taking the horse on at around 3-1. Let's move on to the final race at Newmarket, the showpiece there, the 4:35, which is the Group 1 July Cup Stakes over 6 furlongs, which sees Inisherin, the Commonwealth Cup winner, 85-40, Van Dijk. Who knows what we're going to get here? 4-1. River Tiber, 6-1. Kinross is 13-2. He'll be hoping for the rain. Regional, 7-1. Millstream and Jasaur, 12-1. 20-1 about Cardem. 25-1 about Art Power. Mitt Bahi, 25. Swing Along, 28. And The Dream is the outsider of the Group 1 field at 40-1. Excellent field here. It's actually, in my opinion, it's a better July Cup than I think most people might be thinking. But Van Dijk could do absolutely anything. We didn't get to see the horse, unfortunately, at Ascot, but comes here off that run at the start of the season where it was more of a prep run. Like I say, the Crisfords are hitting form. River Tiber, Paul Keighley was calling this horse to run over a mile. And then the horse ran in the Jersey and ran over 7, now dropping back to 6, which has apparently been the plan for Aidan O'Brien. Kinross is going to want some rain. And Inisherin's the Commonwealth Cup winner. It really is a bit of a lottery towards the top of the betting. Graham Robway, is there anything outside the top of the betting, or do you think it revolves around probably the top four?
No, I think it's a cracking race. I really want to take this favourite on. I'm not entirely sure that Newmarket is going to be his type of track, although I think he will be suited by a little bit cutting the ground. He's kind of a big, to me, he just looks like a big gangly thing who, you know, he's obviously quite fast, but I just wonder if he wants a real galloping track and not a Newmarket's predominantly downhill until they get to the dip, and then there's a rise from there. So I want to be against him. I also don't think that the Commonwealth Cup was the strongest race. I mean, Lake Forest, who was second, was rated 108 by the BHA, you know, so this is a much deeper race. And Van Dijk, when he raced Van Dijk first time out, Van Dijk surely, you know, wasn't right that day. So I think you'll see a different Van Dijk. I thought River Tiber was a certainty at Royal Ascot last time, and he was awful, wasn't he? But it wouldn't surprise me if he bounced back. Having said that, I've backed Mitt Bahi at a massive price because I backed him at Ascot last time behind Cardim, anti-post, and the ground went against him on the day. He needs a little bit of dig in the ground to show his best, I think. And even the trainer afterwards said that the ground didn't suit. And it was quite funny. Is it Eddie Hill, the little boy, isn't it, who comes on ITV every now and again? You know, he was saying afterwards in an interview with Ed Chamberlain, he said, "Oh, we didn't think Cardim would win today. We thought Mitt Bahi was our big one today." So that even they thought Mitt Bahi was their main hope that day. So with a bit of dig in the ground this time, with any luck, Mitt Bahi might outrun pretty big odds. The only downside, of course, is that he was given a pearler of a ride by Jamie Spencer to win at the Curra 2 outings ago in a race that's worked out really well. You know, Unequal Love was fifth and Should Have Been the Ring was sixth, all subsequent winners. And of course, Spencer can't ride here, can he? So I don't know how Sylvester D'Souza is going to get on with this like confirmed hold up performer, because Sylvester D'Souza is the complete opposite to Jamie Spencer, isn't he? But maybe it'll work. We'll find out, Sam. But a big price, I'm happy to take the chance.
Yeah, Sylvester D'Souza, I'm hit by one of the best jockeys in sprint races, but often from the front is when I like to watch Sylvester D'Souza go out and ping. But
maybe that's what they're going to do.
Maybe a change in tactics. But Mitt Bahi actually put up by the anti-postman Robbie Wilders early in the week as well for this race at a big price, around 33. So definitely look out for Mitt Bahi at the prices. Matt, I'll come to you here. I just want to give a mention to Van Dijk, who was probably out of all of these, the star two-year-old, ran an RPR of 117 as a two-year-old and obviously ran an excellent pre-morning as well. What do we make of this horse comeback? Like we say, the Crisfords are back in form, had that prep run. If this horse is fit, could he be a level above?
I don't know if he could be a level above. I don't know. I was really disappointed with his reappearance, actually. You can absolutely understand him needing the run, but I just thought it was a pretty tame display. Like, he was quite keen early, and then his response to pressure was just not there. Like, I don't know. I get it, but I'd hope to see a little bit more. He could, you know, he obviously could improve. I think he was the third best two-year-old last year in the UK and Ireland. Like, you know, he obviously could do better, but it's a stretch, I think, for me at like second favourite on the back of that Haydock run. I just find it really hard to see past Inish Erin. I take Roz's point about the Commonwealth Cup not being, you know, a brilliant race. It sort of wasn't, but, you know, I think he was the third or fourth best winner we've had of that in the last 10 years. You know, he's up with the likes of Mahara, Advertised, those sort of winners. You know, Jessor was in third, a horse that I'm pretty positive on. Last year's Gimcrack winner chased him home. You know, he did improve, but he didn't improve loads. It's not anything out of sort of scope. There was a really progressive one back and forth. There's been a little bit made about the ground, almost like whether that'll tilt the balance back towards like Kinross or someone like that. But to be honest, given his action and stuff, going into Ascot, the worry was whether he'd handle it being really firm or not. And he absolutely did. He sluiced through it at Haydock, and I think you can mark that up even more, given that he was basically acclimatizing to drop into sprinting. You know, it was a different game for him. I think, you know, Kinross didn't really look himself. I didn't think at Newmarket. The one that's overpriced in theory is Art Power, but I've got to give up on that horse now. you know, I can't keep going to that well. But you know, if conditions come in his favor, then you know that I could see that just about. But I think the exciting thing about this race is if it is on the softish side and the likes of Kinross and Art Power do run their race, then it's what can Inish Erin do and how high can he rate? If, you know, if he hammers them, then we're dealing with a proper top-notch sprinter. And I think that's the really exciting thing for this race.
Okay, yeah, look, we've got three-year-olds at the top of the betting here, Ed. Probably says a little bit about kind of the level of the older sprinters in this field. Who are you with?
It's a three-year-old. I do like backing three-year-olds in this race. And since the Commonwealth Cup's been put in the programme, it's a natural stepping stone for these three-year-olds. Yes. So instead of trying the Guineas and then running in the Commonwealth Cup, they run in the Commonwealth Cup and then run here. Well, they can do both, but I don't think it's a surprise that the top three-year-olds in this race are the top three positions in the betting. But I find this race fascinating. I think there's more conundrums than in a series of countdown, because you can't work out what the going is going to be. I mean, I don't think you can bet on this race until half an hour before the race, because there are horses here that won't win if it's firm or good. It won't be firm, but good. And there are horses here that won't win unless there's some sort of soft in the description. And it could be soft on the day, or it could be good on the day. At the moment, I really don't know, and Newmarket don't know either. So this is being recorded on a Thursday, so it's really difficult to give a selection based upon that basis. But I mean, at least Inishirin is one on good to firm and soft. So there's another horse I mentioned at the beginning that I'm backing, that that's got form on both better going and softer going. So Inishirin is going to be my selection, but I just wish Rosalian was running here. I really wanted to see Rosalian over 6 furlongs. And I know a lot of people have been questioning me, saying, Ed, you're an absolute idiot. But I love the milers that come back to 6 furlongs here. There's been plenty of them. Royal Academy won it. Do you remember that? And Chief Singer did it as well. And I mean, even horses that ran in the Derby run this race and then win. Do you remember Ashdale ran the Derby and then won this race? And Mr. Brooks did the same. So it's a great race because it brings all sorts of distance horses to the table. But they're all sprinters, these, aren't they? There's not one horse here that probably went over a mile, is there? So, yeah, I'm going to go for Inishirin, basically because he's got enough ticks in enough boxes at this stage to suggest that he'd be winning this. But I'd love to see Van Dijk come back to form. I interviewed the breeders of Van Dijk at the Welsh Racing Awards, and they're lovely group of people. But I was like, I'm very much like Matt. I was really disappointed by his seasonal debut, well below form, and it might be that he hasn't trained on. But what I would say is that Simon Ed Christopher, their horses were out of form then, weren't they? And now they're in form. So there is at least some hope with Van Dijk if you're backing him here, because their horse, they couldn't buy a winner back then. So, yeah. Lots of options. Any horse here, even Art Power.
Yeah, there we go. Anything can win here, but it seems Inishirin seems a popular choice from the panel. And don't worry, Ed, Rosalian will cement himself as a strong certainty for the Sussex, and I'm looking forward to being at Goodwood to see that. So no need to worry there. So there we go. That's Newmarket's July Festival, the final day sewn up. Shortly after this, we'll have Ascot and York.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live stream of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet. You're on.
Welcome back to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Matt Gardner and Unibet's Ed Nixon taking you through the action on ITV on Super Saturday. We go to Ascot next for 2 races there. First of which is the 145, which is a handicap over 5 furlongs, which is King's Lynn. Currently is the 13-2 favourite. Get It is 15-2. Fair Winds, 17-2. Existent, 9-1. Rohan and Brave Nation, 10-1, 11-1 about Dream Composer and Wolverhampton, and looking at 12-1 and bigger the rest of the field. I remember a couple of weeks ago napping up King's Lynn at Newcastle at 12-1. Unfortunately, got run down for second. All well and good for those each way punters, but unfortunately, I was on the win. Matt, I'll start with you in this race. Again, look, we're going to have competitive races all over the show. Who do you like in this?
I like Albashir, who was probably my biggest eye catcher at Royal Ascot in the Wokingham. I really fancied him for that. I think the BHA have got his turf mark wrong. He's £9 lower on turf than he is on all weather. Largely on the back of how impressive he just was at Newcastle. He won twice, kind of borderline like Group 2 figures. You could make it. You know, I think he was 117 RPR. You know, you could make it higher than that, really. I say I really fancied him for the working. He got no room whatsoever. Like, he just got absolutely mullered in the run. Like, just, you know, it was horrible. Conditions, if it's soft, on the softish side, on the face of it, they might not be ideal. But if you go back and watch him run at York, I think he finished about fifth or sixth on good to soft last year. He bombed through the race over six furlongs and just got tired. A stiff five under these sort of conditions, I think, are ideal for him. He won over a stiff five at Newcastle. It's just a case of I think his turf mark is wrong, and I think he's too big a price, and you can't let that go.
Not giving up Alba Shear for Matt Gardner. And is he going to be able to get extra places, Ed Nicholson?
Yeah, extra places in this race, as well as money back second, third. So if you lose, you come second or third, get money back. Terms and conditions apply. Please visit the website for all of those. But I'm a believer in you, Sam. I'm gone for King's Lynn. I think he was really impressive last time, although he got beat. I just look at his handicap mark. It's just dropped like a stone, isn't it, over the last races? But that's because he hasn't won for 17 races. And his Ascot form isn't great. I'd seen him run quite a lot at Ascot, and I thought, aye, here we go. They're going back to a course he's done well at. But he's not won in 10 races at Ascot. And he's a second and a third. But apart from that, he's been disappointing. So that would be a worry for me, because he's obviously not a course that he excels at. Doesn't mean he can't win at it. Obviously, now his handicap mark's come down. He's only been put up a couple for that excellent run at Newcastle, where he almost found that 12-1 win. So off this sort of rating, 94, he's got to win, hasn't he, sooner or later? Mm-hmm. Unless he's one of these horses that just won't put his head in front of whatever the mark. He's literally just got to win sooner or later off this mark, given that he's shown he's in good form. And he's on a mark that he's run much better at in years gone by. And the cherry on the icing on the top of the cake is Ashee Murphy's there to ride him, who I think is riding the best of any jockey at the moment. Yeah. I'm strongly behind you, Sam. I'm assuming you've gone for him, but King's Lynn's my selection.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I can give up on this horse yet, but he absolutely loves Ascot. That's one thing. I remember a few years back, I think it was a couple of years back, he ran in the Woking and finished third, I think, and in a good handicap there, which was won by Rohan, I think. And I just got this feeling that eventually he's going to come up and he'll win by a good margin as well. I think he'll just suddenly show that all that ability comes back and he'll win well. But Ashee Murphy, a really positive jockey booking, obviously, for the Andrew Balding stable there. Graham Rodway, you're the last one to give us a selection in this race.
Yeah, great horse for your extra places, isn't he, Kingsley?
Yes.
Because he's really well handicapped, but he has an awful lot of trouble winning, doesn't he? Yeah, you know what I mean?
He does.
He really will need everything to drop right. That's not to say it won't, and it will one day, and maybe it will be. But, I would always be wanting to back him each way with extra places. The one that I like is Rohan. I've been waiting for him to go back to Ascot on soft ground. He's back right down the weights, even though he's top weight here. He's running off a mark of 99, which is his lowest pretty much since he won here last year when he beat Horse Called English Oak, who we've already spoken about. If he can reproduce that form, he'll win.
Okay, there you go, Ryan. Yeah, it's a fairly big price as well. Looking, well, 12, 14 to 1, a decent price, Rohan, this time around. The group race on the card at Ascot is the 220, which is the Summer Miles Stakes. Group 2, obviously, over a mile, which sees Coudoir as the 2-1 favourite. Sunny Liston is 11-4. Embesto, 13-2. Epictetus, 15-2. 11-1 about Bolster. 12-1 about Royal Dubai. 14-1 and bigger about the rest of the field. I suppose, Graham Rodway, Coudoir was the horse everyone was a little bit excited about going into the Queen Anne, didn't actually run in the Queen Anne, but the unbeaten runner, we still don't know what to expect at his level. We don't know how good he could be.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, the horse that he beat, Docklands, went on to finish second in the Queen Anne itself. So the form looks pretty good and could well be good enough for me here, because at the start of the week, the same owners had Coudoir and they also had Maljume in the race. And I wasn't sure which one they were going to run, but the money started pouring in for Maljume. So I presume that they were going to run Maljume. only to turn up today and see that they've not run Maljum and they're running Coudoir instead. So that suggests to me that they think that they don't need a second string here. They don't need Maljum, who would probably have been favourite, and they think Coudoir is good enough to win. Like I say, Simon and Chris can't do anything wrong at the moment. They're absolutely flying. So yeah, stick with a favourite.
Okay, yeah, Coudoir, currently a 16-1 shot for the Sussex Stakes, Ed Nicholson, as well. And if he were to win this an impressive start, I suppose that could be the next step.
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it? But he would have to win impressively. I think he will. I always look at these races by looking at the highest rated horse and just working out whether they're going to be able to achieve that rating in this race. And my mind was on Sonny Liston for a long time, but it's going to get a completely different set of circumstances here. For a start, he's going around the round course rather than the straight course at Ascot, which makes a big difference. For example, this is soft going, apparently, and the straight course is good to soft, so it'll be softer. But also, they go a different tempo. And he's got a very good record down the straight track at Ascot. He's come second in 2 Royal Hunt Cups, I think, hasn't he? And 6 in the Balmoral. So I thought, well, hang on, he's got everything in his favour, but that's a straight course. And they tend to run differently around the bend. They obviously go slower because they've got to negotiate the turn. So there's reasons why he might not achieve that mark or be as good as he is on a straight run handicap, which again are run differently. The form experts here will tell me differently, but they normally run quicker and they're harder and they're more competitive, so you have to come off a faster pace. This group races tend to be, not all the time, but you know, a bit more tactical, and you have to have tactical speed. I don't know whether he's got that. So, yeah, Coudoir was my selection, just on the basis that I kind of could see there were holes in Sonny Liston, who was the obvious forward choice because he is a few pounds ahead on the official ratings.
Okay, 2 votes for Coudoir. Are we going to get 3?
Yeah, absolutely. He stands out a bit, doesn't he? Ed's point about is a way into the race, looking at what is kind of the top rated in theory, the best form chance. You know, we've only got £3 between Coudoir and Sonny Liston, and if you can't breach that gap, then, you know, something's gone wrong, I think, hasn't it? I loved how he knuckled down to over... He was still pretty green, I thought, and he overcame that inexperience to beat Docklands and Maljum. His head carriage is a little bit high, but that's kind of typical of Kingman's a little bit. They all just have that in them a little bit. He did, to be honest, as well. And I like that he hasn't run since. You know, that was his first start since May last year. Just give him time to get over that. Prioritise the sort of second half of the season. He stood out for me.
Okay, Coudoir is your hat-trick horse this week in the Summer Mile at Ascot. Decent price around 2-1 there. Let's move across to York, or up to York now, gents. The 2 o'clock there is the John Smith Racing Handicap, a 1 mile handicap here, which is Elmjarm as the 7-2 favourite, Telemark 6-1, Blue For You 7-1, Northern Express 15-2, La Trinidad is 9-1, 11-1 about Empire State of Mind and Brunch, and 12-1 and bigger the rest. I suppose Telemark here, Crisford's could be a few multiples played on the Crisford horses this weekend, potentially you could see. Ed, I'll start with you then on this one. Who do you fancy?
It's not a confident selection at all, but I like the look of Blue For You. Did he win this race last year? He certainly won at York at this time of year. But he's got a very good York record. And again, I like choosing horses that have run well at York because it's a very fast track. And if you have a horse whose conformational style of racing is akin to running well at York, they tend to do so time after time. And he's got some good form figures. I think he's 2-2, 1-5, 1-14 and 4 from his runners at York. Trained by, I think we've all said it individually at different times of the year, by a really great trainer of handicappers, David O'Meara, Danny Tudhope. And he won, it must have been this race last year, but he won at this time of year at York easily. I mean, he just won it easily off a similar mark, was it? Won by 3 lengths easing down. He's come down the handicap because he's obviously not been running that well. I thought this was the time for him. I thought if he couldn't run well here, he might be not worth following in the future, but I think this is the race that they're targeted for him.
Yeah, well, using our excellent Racing Post Members Club, I've just logged in and watched the closing stages replay of that win last year in this race and won it an easy start.
Was it
3 lengths?
Was it the same mark? What was the mark?
No, it wasn't. One off mark 99.
Right, okay. And it's running off 95 today. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, even more so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. And I've watched that replay. Let me tell you, it looks good. Matt Gardner, who did you like in this?
Yeah, blue for you. Right there with Ed. 95 is the lowest his mark's been since he was second in that Golden Mile handicap at Goodwood in 2022. He's a funky horse, is blue for you. He's very sort of in and out. But the keys to him, I think, are he's best around a bend. He's been fancied for a couple of Ascot handicaps and he's just not run very well. Last two runs, well, his reappearance at York, I thought he looked to retain all of his ability. He went to Epsom, he was caught wide from a bad draw, so you can overlook that. And then Ascot isn't his track, you know, for last time. So he's drawn a little bit wider than I'd like. He's in 12, which the mile start at York gives you the least opportunity to tuck in before you get to the home turn. I think there's with 18 runners, something like that, he's a little bit wider than you'd ideally want. But given how effective he is under these sort of conditions, if his head's right and he's in the game, he'll take plenty of beating off this mark, I think.
Yeah, currently 7-1. And yeah, looking back, you're right, Matt. Blue for you, it was rated 93 in that Golden Mile. And even then, got beaten by a David O'Mara runner in Orban. So just shows how good this horse could potentially be on this mark. Graham Robway, surely not a free timer on this one.
No, although I can definitely see the argument, that's for sure. He loves York and he's really well handicapped. I just thought that El Najim looked really good at Newcastle last time, and I thought he was the one horse in the race that had the potential to totally blow it apart. He's obviously very lightly raced, trained by William Haggis, who loves a winner at York, as we know. And I thought that the even though he's favourite, the price on offer was very fair. So I'm going to go with El Najim.
Okay, El Najim for Graham Robway. 8 races down and a few more to go. The 235 at York is the City Wall Stakes, a listed contest over 5 furlongs. That sees Clarendon House as the 85-40 favourite. Starlust is 3-1. Rogue Lightning 4-1. Emiratiana's 13-2. And then we're looking at much bigger, 12-1 and bigger about the rest of the field. What do we make of this one? Matt Gardner, Robert Cowles runs here in a listed contest that, quite frankly, isn't very strong.
We've talked about Clarendon House on here before. He's a horse that I absolutely love. I really like him. He obviously, you know, he let himself down in the dash, didn't he, at Epsom? And he is a little bit quirky. You know, he's got a little bit about him in that sense. But, you know, I'm still convinced he's a proper top-notch sprinter. I think he'll win this. It's got all the hallmarks of an Unthought prep for me, this. And I'm going to be coming to Ed for a anti-post non-thought price, I think, because that's the way to play for me. Like, Asfura is favourite for the non-thought almost by default. You know, it's been pretty well documented. She's not at the kind of top of the sprinting tree in Australia. It's a pretty poor set of like 5 furlong sprinters. You know, Clarendon House is the one for me that his progress has kind of come in fits and starts a little bit, but I do think he's a Group 1 sprinter, and I think this will tee him up ideally for it.
16-1 I've got here for the Nunthorpe Stakes. I might be wrong, but that's what I'm seeing on Unibet's website currently. I kind of thought that. I think you're with Asfura, I agree. He's probably just a bit above some of our sprinters, Matt, as you're looking at the King George at Goodwood and the horses that could end up there. And that horse there, Asfura, is favourite for that race. But behind, anything could happen, really. I was actually quite impressed with Desperate Heroes running the charge at Sandown last week, running from the front. I think the horse is more likely to get away with something like that in a King George or even a Nunthorpe, just pinging along from the front. So I wouldn't give up on that horse either. Ed Nicholson, we've already quoted the price there for Clarendon House in a list, kind of, but for the Nunthorpe at 16s, what did you make of this?
Yeah, I love Clarendon House, even though he let me down big time at Epsom. We were all there, weren't we? I think me and Matt both fancied him very strongly that day. I think I napped him maybe, and he just came.
One of you did.
Yeah, and it was not very good. But he's a horse I've always loved. I do speed figures just at Barcy, any track I do speed figures there for 2-year-olds. And he came out with an amazing figure when he won there. And I've been following him ever since. And he is quick. And this 5 furlongs is a quick 5 furlongs. It will be good to soft, so it'll be slower than normal, but they'll still go pretty quick. And one thing I think I'll just reiterate that we kind of have mentioned before about this horse, he has changed his style of running. He can be running from behind as well as from the front, which obviously gives you a two-edged sword. You can, if he does miss the break, hopefully not as badly as the Epsom Dash, he can still get into the race. And that performance last time was actually pretty decent at Cork. It was Cork, wasn't it? And yeah, he's previously won at York. He likes it. And I agree totally with Matt. I can see this being a prep for the non-thought. I think he wins this. Yeah, 9-4, I think it's a fair price. I agree with you as well, Sam. I don't think it's a particularly great renewal of this race.
No, it really isn't. I think I mentioned the car. Yeah, it was Cork, sorry. And Graham Robway, are you going to give another vote to Clarendon House?
No, not for me, Sam. I like Democracy Dilemma. This horse is just fast. Whether he's fast enough to hold on, I'm going to find out. But I think that he'll definitely be leading after three furlongs. And I like that at York because it's a really fast track. Last couple of times, he's not quite managed to hold on. Epsom, Windsor, you know, narrowly caught, wasn't he, in the Dash when we were all there. And I backed him last time at Haydock and he had no chance that day because there was a really fierce headwind that all the front runners were running right into. And he's only got one way of going, and that's front running. And, you know, he blasted away and then got blown away by the wind. So you can forget that run. If he returns to his Epsom form, he must run really, really well. I'll be backing him each way, I think, because, like I say, he might finish second or third getting caught near the line, but he's fast.
Yeah, he's got a bit of ornate about him, actually, is the way that I'd say. I mean, if we ever came up with a four furlong race in the UK, they're the kind of horses that would do quite well at them, just pinging out, but just aren't able to cling on over five furlongs. We'll wait and see, but a good price, around 10-1, Democracy Dilemma for Graham Robway. Right, two more races to go. The 3-10 is the John Smith's Cup Handicap. 10 furlongs here, which is Liberty Lane is the 9-2 favourite. Haunted Dream is 11-2. Botanical 13-2. Epic Poet, big fan of this horse last week, and am again 15-2. Enge Jar is 11-1, 12-1 about Astro King and Box to Box and bigger the rest. We've already mentioned David O'Mara. I'm a big fan of Epic Poet. I thought that second Crystal Black at Ascot is so solid. And like I say, David O'Mara, the man to be with in these big handicaps. Graham Robway, I'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, I love this race. Great, isn't it? The old Magnet Cup. You know, I'm sure Ed will remember when it was called that.
I don't.
I've just got it written down, mention Magnet Cup.
Yeah, mention Magnet Cup, that's it. I beat you to it. Probably my favourite ever renewal of this was when Killer Instinct turned up, having finished sixth or something in the St James's Palace and went off a short price. I think he didn't win, did he? I think he got beat.
No. So. It was the Morning Glory horse, wasn't he? Cecil.
That's right. Yeah, he was supposed to be Frankel, Killer Instinct. Unfortunately, he didn't show what he showed on the morning gallops on the course. But yeah, it's a great race, nevertheless, having, you know, digressing. I'm hoping that I've got horses that can run a bit faster than Killer Instinct. Remard for William Haggis. I backed this horse last time at Sandown when he ran in the Heron Stakes, I think it was. We were all there, weren't we, Sam, on Brigadier Gerard night. I really, really strongly fancied him. He was heavily backed and he was very disappointing. Whether it was that he didn't go over the mile because he was dropping back in trip, that's what I'm hoping. The ground was also pretty soft, although he handled soft ground. His previous run's very good. That's why I backed him at Sandown last time. He was third behind Arabian Crown, Macduff, and Portland was fourth, who has since won Enlisted Company and has run. He's running on Thursday at Newmarket in the opener, I think. So I think if Remard can reproduce that Sandown run off a mark of 103, we've already mentioned Haggis is flying and he loves York. 3-year-old going in against mainly exposed older horses. I could see Remard running a big race at what should be a good price, Sam.
Yeah, big price, 20-1. And I'm sure with that 21, you're going to get extra places off Ed Nixon here.
Yeah, we can't give extra places in the Magnet Cup. I don't know what we can do. But I should give it the real title, which is the John Smith Handicap. And the reason I say that is, as a sponsor, I realise how difficult it is sometimes to keep the sponsorships going. They've been sponsoring this race since 1960. I mean, so, you know, hats off to John Smith. You know, really great to see these kind of sponsors continue with their racing. And also the July Cup, we should have mentioned, it's the first year being sponsored by My Pension Expert. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hats off to them as well. They're putting a lot of money into sponsorship of the Jockey Club race courses. So well done to them. As for this race, it's amazing, but I've gone for a mind as well. 20-1. I just think it's got the profile of a horse. When I look at this race, I look at a horse, as I said, in group races that's best rated and then work backwards. But in these, I kind of try to look for an angle that's either the draw or trainers. And there's two situations in here which make this horse worth a bet. The first is that the horses that are first and second favourites are drawn 24 and 23. Now, if I haven't gone mad, I think a high draw is actually almost impossible to win from over this 10 furlong trip at York. I did some investigation because that's just in the back of my mind. But the previous winners in the last five runnings have been drawn 2, 10, 1, 7, 6. And if you look at all the place sources, there are only a few that have been drawn over 19. So it's not impossible, but there's an angle there to take these horses on. They're first and second favourites, Liberty Lane and Haughty Dream, drawn 23 and 24. So it cannot be a positive. So it's either a negative or it's just nothing. But I see it as a negative. So then the next thing I look at is trainers for these races. And Graham's already said it. William Haggis loves to have a winner at York. He loves this race. This race is worth £103,000 to the winner. It's a handicap. Trainers with well-bred horses that haven't shown a great deal but have capabilities of doing something are always going to be targeted at these sort of races, aren't they? And William Haggis is probably one of the best, so Mark Prescott being the other maybe, at targeting big handicaps with big prize money on offer with improving horses. And I think he's also got a fantastic record in this race. He's won it in the last 20 renewals. He's won it three times and had four places from just 18 runners. So he's got two runners here. I think, without doubt, the one more interesting is Ramad, who's only had five runs and has drawn two and is a prominent runner, which is important. So he'll be able to get a nice posse. And if he's good enough under Harry Davis, hopefully he managed to grab himself a place. But then there's Kingfisher King, is it, as well, who's also a Haggis horse. And I wouldn't put anyone off that. I've drawn eight. He's only had five runs as well. So, and he's about 33-1. So I'll be backing two Haggis horses each way with the extra places where I can get them. And that's Rimad and Kingfisher King, purely on the fact that they're going to be running the right part of the draw. They're improving young horses trained by the right person.
Okay, there we go. Two votes for the Haggis runner and Ramad, but also another mention for Haggis' other runner, and like viewers and listeners want to know, is Kingfisher King, Oshin Orr on that one, around 33-1. Matt Gardner, you're going to finish us off in this big handicap?
Yeah, just to underline that point that Ed made about the draw, it's massive over this course and distance. There's a little elbow like kink at York, which is not long after the start of this at all. And it's a big disadvantage to be drawn high. I've got another low draw unexposed horse at a big price that I think is well treated, and that's Flying Frontier. He's a horse who won a couple of novices at the start of last year that worked out really well. He beat Iron Lion, who's rated 98 now, and Lissio came out and won three or four races through the year. He bumped into a couple of unexposed Godolphin horses at Yarmouth at the end of his sort of campaign, and he was probably unlucky not to win on the second of those. I was pretty encouraged by Sandown reappearance, travelled well into it, got tired like he needed the run. To me, that suggested that this might have been the plan. I think he's probably been teed up for this. Going back up in trip, I think it's absolutely ideal. I think 95 is potentially lenient for him. I think he's 100-plus horse. So, Flying Frontier at a decent price.
James Tate's running another one. Yeah, around 25-1, a big price there for the John Smith's Cup handicap. Let's move on to the last race we're going to be covering. We are flying. We're just about going to make an hour, I think. The 3:45 is the John Smith Silver Cup Stakes. This is a Group 3 over 1 mile, 6 furlongs. Al Kareem is the 5-2 favourite. Klondike 11-4. Salt Bay, a favourite of Mr. Graham Robway, is 130. Alksib 13-2. Tashkan 17-2. Chesspiece and Deauville Legend 12-1. And Wise Eagle, the outside of the lot, at 33-1. No, you love a bit of Salt Bay, Graham Robway, but are you going to be with him today?
Love a bit of Salt Bay. Love a bit of Salt Bay. Unfortunately, though, Sam, when we were on him last time, he just didn't quite get there.
Go by.
No, Klondike like held him by the shortest of short heads under the most miraculous ride from Ryan Moore that you're going to see. I mean, if you back Klondike that day, you owe Ryan half your winnings because he literally stole the race from the front. Salt Bay was getting him, everywhere but the line. I fancy Chesspiece here, big price. I backed this horse last time at Sandown, and he just did not run any sort of race for one reason or another. He's beaten 51 lengths. I don't know why, but I do know that the Crisfords have not got a fantastic record at Sandown, but they do have a fantastic record at York. They're 29% at York in the last five seasons. And Chesspiece has also got a course win on his ledger. So we know that he likes York. I thought that he needed his first run when he was behind Salt Bay and Al Karim, who are back here at Newbury. And I think if he returns to the form he showed when he was behind Middle Earth with the pair clear at Ascot last season, then he must run a big race back at his favourite track. So I'm with Chesspiece.
These Crisford multiples look really tasty this weekend at good prices. Matt Gardner, who do you like in the Silver Cup Stakes?
I'm going to give Salt Bay another go. I thought, like Rod has said, it was the ride won that race for Klondike. I think the key differences for this race compared to the last race are the presence of Al Karim and Tashkan, other pace options that might just tee it up a little bit more for him and press Klondike. And I also think that it was the furthest he'd run over Salt Bay, and I think they might be a little bit more proactive with him, just get after him that bit earlier, confidence that he's going to stay the trip, because he absolutely did. Sam, you and I were talking about conditions for Saturday at York. Like, I think the forecast a bit of rain on Saturday. I can't see it being any quicker than good to soft, so that should be fine for him. Yeah, I still think there's a bit of untapped potential there, and with a slightly different setup and hopefully a more proactive ride, then I think we might see a better version of Salt Bay.
Okay, vote for Salt Bay there. And Ed Nixon, you're going to finish off the 11th of 11 races we've covered today. Who do you like?
Well, as I said to before, I look at these group races, look at the horses best top rated, and just work out whether they can achieve that in the field. And Al Corum is top rated, 112, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And it's interesting listening to Matt about why Salt Bay might reverse the form with Al Corum. And obviously Chesspiece ran in that race as well. But Al Corum or Karum is better off with the weights for that race as well. So he's got a nose victory over Salt Bay. I think I'm right in saying, but it's £3 better off for that Newbury run. And he's been running in group twos for the last two runs, and he's back in group three. I just thought there's every reason to suggest he'll run to his mark. But that's the key piece of form. See, Klondike, everyone's mentioned what a great ride it was, and he's there or thereabouts in the ratings as well. And he's a William Haggis horse at York, so you can't put that one out of your equation. But I think the key form is the John Porter Stakes, when the horse finished second, third, and sixth or seventh, whatever it was, Chesapeake, sixth or fifth, maybe. But I just can't see why our Corum won't. There's no reason to me to suggest, although Matt makes a good argument. With what the race might be like and how the horse might run a bit more forward this time. But I think Al Corum on that piece of form, you just have to think with the £3, he's going to win. We're going to confirm the placings over Salt Bay.
Okay, there we go. Three different selections in this race.
But I suppose the only thing you do then take into account is the prices. If Salt Bay was double the price of Al Corum, then yes, but he's not. He's the same sort of price.
Yeah. No, agreed. So, got one vote for Al Corum. We've got one vote for Salt Bay and one vote for Chesspiece. And I'm going to be napping in this race and possibly going to be making it four different selections. We'll get onto that very shortly. So, there's 11 races covered on ITV. Just want to mention, we've got plenty of sport this weekend, plenty of racing. Do gamble responsibly. Don't have to have a bet in every race. The MO here at the Racing Post and Unibet is only gamble with money you can afford to lose. So there we go. That's the 11 races covered. Shortly after this, we'll quickly go for any other selections and our best bets for the weekend.
Get 50% off your first 3 months in the Racing Post Members Club. As a member, you get access to the digital newspaper exclusively available to members the night before. You'll get daily tips on the likes of Pricewise, Tom Siegel, Robbie Wilders and Paul Keighley. Enjoy award-winning journalism from the industry's best writers and watch replays from all British and Irish racing now available within the Racing Post app. Subscribe today and get 50% off your first 3 months membership.
Welcome back then to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Slightly longer show this week with 11 races to be covered on this Super Saturday. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Matt Gardner and Ed Nicholson now giving you any other selections before giving the best bet. So we'll start off with any other selections. Matt, I'll come to you first. You've got one for us at Hamilton?
Yeah, 7 o'clock at Hamilton. Moyola for Lucinda Russell. She won a three-year-old handicap here last month, and I think it's probably quite good form. Beat Pals Battalion, who's an O'Mara horse, who I think is well-treated when he steps up to 7 furlongs, and Mr. Irrelevant, who'd won 3 of his previous 4. So it stacks up pretty well, even though it's a small field. She went to Ripon, met all sorts of trouble last time, and I thought did pretty well to finish third. Again, that was good form. She was only beaten by a pair that are kind of progressive and well-treated themselves. She's taken on older horses for the first time here. There's a couple like stand-in Hamilton dishes. There's Giselle Zizzy and Slinty Math, always run well here. But if she's not sort of slightly different gear to that lot, I'd be disappointed.
Okay, one at Hamilton, 7 o'clock there. Graham, Rob, anything from you?
I just noticed that obviously we've been talking about William Haggis all day, having, you know, chances all over the shop, but most of the ones that we've spoken about are running at Newmarket and York, yet Haggis's number one man, Tom Markand, isn't riding at any of those meetings. He's off to Ascot instead, where Haggis has also got another bunch of good chances. Sometimes on these big Saturdays when there's so many meetings, I think it can be significant when you see someone like Tom Markand, who could have had the choice to ride several favourites at Newmarket or York, then turn up elsewhere. So he's riding Coco Royale in the stand race there, 1 mile 6 furlong, 3:32 at Ascot. I mean, this one absolutely bolted up last time out at Sandown. Just looking at the rating that I've given it, I haven't given it a high enough rating last time out to get it top this time around, but I might rectify that in time. And in the 4:07, he rides La Yaquelle, who is a horse that I backed last week for the Old Newton Cup before it was cancelled. So I'll be backing La Yaquelle at 4:07, and the 3:32 I'll be backing Coco Royale, both under Tom Markand.
There we go, a nice double there from Graham. Robway, Ed Nicholson, just quickly to you, just want to remind people of all the offers this week and also the Richard Hannon blog.
Yes, the Richard Hannon blog's always worth having a dial in and listen to what Richard fans, especially when it gets to this time of the season with Goodwood ahead as well. It actually is one of the most well-read blogs of the whole of our Unibet system, social media system. So, and he doesn't, you know, he tells it as it is. He really does. He said Rosalian before the horse had run that it was his best two-year-old, and he was always very bullish about that horse all throughout his two-year-old career and three-year-olds. And though a horse is, you've got plenty of runners on Friday and Saturday, and this hopefully will be out around about 7 o'clock tonight on Thursday. That's right, isn't it, Sam? There's a horse running on Friday that it will be in his blog. So go to his blog to get full information. But yeah, he's got quite a few runners on Friday and Saturday, Richard Hannon. And he says his best chance at Ascot is a horse called New Charter, which I found quite interesting because it's a two-year-old running in a nursery for the first time, rated 77. Sean Levy on board in the Racing Post SP forecast. He's 4-1 at time of recording. So that's the only, I don't actually have any odds on offer, but that's the kind of price you probably will be looking at. There's only 5 runners and it's a handicap. As a first time 2-year-old in a handicap for Richard Hannon at Ascot, I wouldn't be surprised if that's quite a good little system to play.
Yeah, I remember this was going to short price on the Friday. I think the Oaks Day at Epsom, I believe. I can't remember what race it was now, but
and definitely one of that Wood Ditton.
Wood, yeah, that's it.
I've done that again. I think it's the second time I've done that, but yeah, ran the Woodcut
with short price.
I've for that, actually. Yeah,
yeah, had a tour of time. So, yeah, interesting that I'll have a look at that for Friday then. So there we go. That's all of the selections and other offers from Unibet for the weekend. It's only time to get the best bets now, I guess. So who is the best bet this weekend according to our panel? I'll start with you, Graham Robway.
Yeah, mine is Ramad in the John Smith's Magnet Cup. But York.
That's what we call it. Ed Nicholson, who's your best bet?
I'm going for AWOL in the Bunbury Cup at 4 o'clock. Came third in the race last year. hasn't run this season, but does well when off for a long time. Finished second in the Lincoln after 159 days off the track. I think he's been laid out for this. Got a good record over 7 furlongs as well. And a fair price, double-figure price. So AWOL in the Bunbury Cup.
Okay, I'm going to go one, like I said, in the Silver Cup Stakes, 3.45 at York. And I've just seen the prices and thought Deauville Legend at 12-1 was far too big here. Been running into the back of King of Conquest and Imeric the last two times. I think they're two top-quality horses. You can excuse the run at Chester over this trip behind Point Lonsdale. If you go back, this horse certainly stays. Was actually fourth in a Melbourne Cup. And then actually won the Great Vulture Stakes at York's Ebor meeting. So I wouldn't give up on Deauville Legend. I've actually looked at that and I think 12-1 is far too big. Matt Gardner, you're going to finish off here.
Yeah, in my private battle of wits with this horse against the BHA, I'm going to back myself to come out on top eventually with Albashir in the 145 at Ascot.
Yeah, there we go. So Naps on screen there. You can see all of our best bets. These will be boosted by Unibet at the time of the upload of this podcast and video. So do head over to unibet.co.uk to get hold of all of those. Right, it's been a long, long show, but I am just going to quickly see what everyone is up to this weekend. And when you finish telling me what you've been up to this weekend, all I want is a score prediction for Sunday night with Spain versus England. Graham Robway, what is on the agenda for you this weekend?
Well, I'm working on Saturday, Sam. And would you believe about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I actually booked tickets for a gig at Hyde Park on Sunday night. Of course, not realising, of course, that it was Euro 2024 final and certainly not thinking until about a week ago that England might even be playing in it. So now I'm stuck with four tickets for Hyde Park on Sunday night for an 8 o'clock kickoff. So I'm a bit stuck, really. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to hope England win and I'm going to go for 2-1 to England.
Perfect. Lovely to hear. Ed Nixon, to you next.
Well, if Graham is lucky, they might do what they did at the Killers concert last night. Did you hear?
I did see it.
The last 5 minutes, they put it on the screens. And then as soon as England won, they came straight in with Mr. Brightside. What a day to be there. That must have been brilliant. So hopefully your gig guys can do that as well, so you don't miss the final five. I'm going to be at Newmarket on Saturday. I haven't been for a couple of years. I do love the July meeting. July course, sorry, and this meeting. So, yeah, I'm hopefully going to enjoy some nice weather. Although, as I say, I've been told to bring a coat and sunglasses because they haven't got a clue what the weather's going to be like. And the score, I think, will be 1-1.
Okay. And who wins it? Who wins the...
England, of course.
There we go.
Ivan Tony. Ivan Tony takes the last penalty with a blindfold.
My word. Imagine. he won't be looking at the ball. Matt Gardner, what's on the agenda for you?
Like Rudder's working. You can't not work when there's so much racing on the Saturday. There's a couple of big mountain days in the Tour de France, so I'll definitely be watching that Saturday and Sunday. That's been really good so far. As for the football, I'm going to optimistically hope for some goals and say 3-1 England.
Wow. Okay, there we go.
What are you doing, Sam?
Oh, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm working on Saturday morning, and then for the first time ever, I'm heading off to Cowdray Park Polo Club to watch some polo. I've never actually watched it before. I think it's the Cowdray Gold Cup quarterfinal. So I'm a little bit excited. My friends bought it for me for my birthday. So it's a little trip there on Saturday afternoon. I'm sure it'll be good fun, but I've never been. So
nice.
We'll see how that is. But I'll keep an eye on the racing as well. And I'm going to go with... If I said my honest opinion, then I'll be absolutely slated. But I think Spain are unfortunately going to come out on top. I'm obviously supporting England, but I think Spain might win it 2-1. But I am
traitor.
No, I've got to give boom. With my head. I think it'll be 2-1 Spain. But yeah, like boom. I say, I'll be out watching supporting England with an England top on. Don't worry about that.
But on a more positive note than that, I think it might be a good idea to say we're going to Richard Hannon's stable on Tuesday. To look forward to his Goodwood runner. So if anybody wants us to ask a question directly to Richard Hannon, can I say put in the notes?
Good shout. Get your comments in down below. Get them in below.
Ask directly. And if you've got a handle, we'll give you a handle and mention as well.
Perfect. I'll have a look through the comments. Anyone who's got a question for Rich Hannon, stick it down in the comments and I'll pass all of those questions on to Ed ahead of Tuesday when they head down to Hannon's yard for Goodwood. So do get those in below. I'm sure they will be asked. Big thanks to my panel, as always, Graham Robway, Matt Gardner, and Unibet's Ed Nixon. Like I say, plenty of racing this week, and do gamble responsibly. Do like, comment, share, and subscribe to these videos and podcasts. And we'll be back again next weekend for another weekend preview.